Good afternoon, everyone. As usual, we will start this conference with a 15-20 minutes long presentation from our CEO, Hans Stråberg, and our CFO, Jonas Samuelson. The slides are available at our homepage, electrolux.com. After presentation, we will start the Q&A session. We will conclude the conference call around 4:00 Central European Time. My proposal, as usual, is to use the Q&A session as efficient as possible and let everybody have the chance to put forward questions. Therefore, I would like each of you to ask only one question at a time. So with these instructions, I would like to hand over to you, Hans.
Thank you, and welcome to this discussion of the 2009 third quarter results. With me here, I have our CFO, Jonas Samuelson, and our Head of IR, Peter Nyquist. Today, I'm happy to present a record strong quarter. We have succeeded in reaching an operating margin of more than 8%, and I'm very pleased that all Electrolux sectors have been so successful in this challenging market. I'm also very pleased that the cost reductions we have implemented over the past years are yielding results. We have improved our product mix, and this is a result of investments in new and innovative products and in strong brands. We have succeeded in defending previous price increases in spite of increased price pressure. We had a positive impact from lower raw material costs. Prices on many of our raw materials have now begun to rise, which will increase our costs going forward. However, demand is still weak in our major markets. In North America, we have reached a bottom level of demand. In Europe, we see further weaknesses, especially in Northern and Eastern Europe. Our strong cash flow has further strengthened our balance sheet, and looking into our net debt, we are, at this time, net positive. Now, let's turn page and start the highlights of the third quarter. In the third quarter, we saw a continued weak market demand in our major markets. Despite the weak markets, we have almost succeeded in doubling our operating margin compared to last year. All regions have contributed to this positive development. And to further explain this remarkable quarter, I would like to point out three factors impacting the results. Firstly, our previously launched cost savings programs continue to generate savings. We have continued to execute on our restructuring program. In 2008, when we saw the dramatic decline in the markets, we responded quickly and aggressively by reducing our costs. We have increased our production efficiency, and we have reduced our purchasing costs. Furthermore, we found new ways of reducing product costs, and we are now seeing the results of these efforts. Secondly, we have succeeded in defending previous price increases in a marketplace that continues to be weak. We actually had a positive price impact within all regions compared to last year. Thirdly, for the first quarter in a very long time, we experienced some tailwinds from raw materials. However, as I said earlier, prices of many of our raw materials have again begun to rise, which will increase our costs. When the global economy recovers, we expect costs for our most important raw materials to increase further. In addition, we have also seen a very strong growth in Latin America, driven by tax incentives, low interest rates, and easy access to credit. We have seen some of the seasonal mix improvements already in the third quarter, and therefore, we do not expect our traditional result improvement in the fourth quarter. We have reduced our market investments to a level which is not long-term sustainable. We will now increase our investments to further strengthen the position of the Electrolux brand. And finally, we have continued to deliver a very strong cash flow, and Jonas will describe this in more detail here. So over to Jonas.
Thank you, Hans. We're happy today to not only be able to present record strong quarter in terms of results, but also in terms of cash flow. The earnings improvement and lower investments, of course, had a positive contribution to the strong cash flow, but the change in our operating assets and liabilities had an even greater impact. Looking into our working capital, we've continued our reduction of inventories. During this period of weak demand, we've been able to structurally reduce our tied-up capital. In the third quarter, our accounts payable were adversely affected by previously sold air conditioners in the amount of 1.2 billion crowns compared to 900 million crowns 1 year ago. This gives an even better underlying improvement of accounts payable. Our trade receivables are slightly impacted by the lower volumes, but we've been able to hold our payment terms with our customers and made improvements in collection of past due receivables. Cash flow from investments was 500 million crowns lower in the third quarter compared to last year. We still hold our full-year target of reducing capital expenditures by 30%, and this is mainly due to lower factory investments. I'm also happy that we've been able to achieve this improvement with continued high delivery accuracy, and despite that retailers' inventories are also at record low levels. Our solid cash flow has also further strengthened our balance sheet. Liquid funds by the end of September are more than 15 billion crowns, and we now have positive net liquidity, and we only have 500 million crowns in remaining debt maturities in 2 2009. Our strong cash flow and solid balance sheet provides us with the opportunity to create profitable organic growth as well as selective acquisitions going forward. Over to you, Hans.
Thanks, Jonas. Let's now look into Major Appliances Europe. The weak market demand continued in the third quarter, and currently the northern and eastern regions are the weakest. Despite the weak market environment, we were able to improve our results, and I would like to point out the following drivers to the improvement. Firstly, costs. We have reduced our costs in Europe to adapt our cost to current demand. We continue to execute on our restructuring program, both in savings and actions. During the summer, we ceased our refrigerator production in Scandicci, Italy. On Friday, we also announced the closure of our washing machine facility in Alcalá, Spain. We are also starting an investigation regarding our cooking unit in Motala, Sweden. Price, then. By a strong price discipline, we have been able to maintain our previous price increases. At the same time, the overall price pressure has continued. And thirdly, raw materials. For the first time in a very long period, we have had some tailwinds for raw materials, both for the third quarter and the full year. And lastly here, mix. The positive mix effect we saw in the second quarter has continued in the third quarter. A positive regional mix combined with gaining market shares in the built-in segment are contributing to the results. At the same time, our volumes in private label have come down considerably compared to last year, as we have lowered our exposure to the mail order company Quelle in Germany. Since June, Quelle has been in an insolvency process, and last week the administrator has declared his intention to liquidate the company. The loss of our Quelle volumes will impact our sales volumes negatively for the fourth quarter and onwards. For our floor care products, there is still a weak market demand. The negative market effect was offset by an improved product mix, lower product costs, and favorable currency movements. Industry shipments of core appliances in Europe declined by 11% during the third quarter in 2009 in comparison with the same period of last year. Demand in Western Europe declined at a lower rate in the third quarter, while Eastern Europe continued to be very weak. In our Central European region, the market continues to develop at a stable rate with a continued slightly positive growth in Germany. Several countries in the southern region, like France, Portugal, and Italy, showed a low single-digit decline in the third quarter. In the north region, with countries like Great Britain, Sweden, and Denmark, demand is still weak, however, with a slightly lower decline. In Eastern Europe, Russia, the Baltic countries, and Hungary, they all show a decline of around 30%. And even though the rate of decline has slowed down, we have not yet seen the European demand bottoming out. Now turning to North America. The market continued to decline in the third quarter, but also here at a lower rate. Despite the weak market, we could significantly improve our operating income. Firstly, our Our organization has done a great job by reducing costs. We were able to generate positive results with a capacity utilization of around 60%. And secondly, our prices in the market held in spite of increasing price pressure, which was most severe in the laundry segment. Thirdly, we have a positive mix contribution from the Electrolux launch on both top line and on EBIT. The relaunch of the Frigidaire brand is also contributing to a positive mix. And fourthly and finally, we're benefiting from the cyclical trough in raw material prices. I'm also very happy with our floor care operations in North America. Despite the weak market, we were able to improve our operating profit thanks to a better product mix and lower product costs. Industry shipments of appliances in the US declined by 7% in the third quarter. September showed an increase of 1% compared to the very weak September of last year. And this is the first month since July 2008 the AHAM statistics showed positive figures. After a dramatic decline at the end of last year and at the beginning of 2009, we now believe that the US market is at its bottom. The year-over-year figures in the fourth quarter, we will now have easier comparables. The positive growth in September will therefore probably continue in the fourth quarter. We're now at 1996 demand level of appliances, but we don't expect a quick recovery from this. Latin America. The quarter results in Latin America is dominated by the strong market growth in Brazil. While the rest of Latin America showed declining demand, the Brazilian market rose by more than 30%. We also continue gaining market shares in Brazil thanks to our strong product launches. In Brazil, there is a strong domestic economic momentum supported by the governmental measures such as tax incentives, interest rate reduction and consumer credit line improvement. In addition to the positive volume effect, our results were also positively impacted by price increases, by improved customer mix, lower production costs and lower costs for raw materials. The negative currency headwinds at the beginning of the year were significantly lower in the third quarter. Now, let's look into our Asia-Pacific business. In Australia, the market declined somewhat in the third quarter. We were able to gain shares, market shares, and increase our sales volumes. In addition to the positive volume impact, we were able to improve our results thanks to an improved mix and lower costs for raw materials, as well as previously implemented cost-cutting programs. The negative currency impact that we've seen in previous quarters have come down in the third quarter. In Southeast Asia, we were able to continue our profitable growth, and this is thanks to higher volumes and previous price increases. In a slightly growing Chinese market, we were able to improve our product mix as a result of exiting the low-end refrigerator business. We're now getting closer and closer to break-even levels for our business in China. Turning to our professional products. Despite the weak market with the continuously declining order intake, our operating margin was stable compared to the third quarter of 2008. Lower costs for raw materials contributed to the positive development in the third quarter, but also cost savings in our production and the previous price increases for our laundry products had a positive impact. Now, leaving the professional products area, I would like to give some comments on the business going forward. In North America, we've seen the market bottoming out. As I mentioned earlier, comparable year-over-year figures will get easier, and the trend which started in September will probably continue. But we do not expect a quick recovery here. Even though the rate of decline in Europe has slowed down, we have not seen the European demand bottoming out. The expected liquidation of the mail order company Quelle will impact our volumes negatively going forward. Thanks to favorable raw material prices, we have successfully reduced our costs for raw materials in the third quarter compared to last year. However, prices of our raw materials have already begun to rise, which will increase our costs, and we probably saw the cyclical trough in raw material prices during the third quarter. We have seen some seasonal mix improvements already in the third quarter. During the recession, we have reduced our marketing investments to a level which is not long-term sustainable. We will now increase our marketing investments to further strengthen the position of the Electrolux brand. And adding all this together, we do not expect our traditional results improvement in the fourth quarter.
Okay, we are now ready for question. And as I said in the beginning, I would appreciate if the Q&A session could be as efficient as possible and let everybody have a chance to put forward a question. Therefore, I would like each of you to ask only one question at a time. And if you have more questions that not yet have been answered, you can line up again. So, operator, we are now ready for the first question.
The first question comes from the line of Mr. Andreas Willi from J.P. Morgan. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello, Andreas.
Good afternoon, everybody. My question is on the seasonal improvement you just talked about. If you could just go through again why exactly we shouldn't see, like, for example, a normal seasonal improvement we get in the European business from more kitchen business during the wintertime. Why is it different this year in terms of the seasonality?
Well, it's quite easy to explain, Andreas, and that is that we got it already in the third quarter. It started already with stronger built-in sales in Europe already now.
But that means it can still get stronger in Q4.
Yes, well, we have seen an increase in the fourth quarter, while a step improvement with the seasonal improvement from the second quarter to the third quarter, and then a further improvement to the last quarter of the year. And of course, this could happen, but our view on this is that we've had some of that already in the third quarter, which our results also reflects. And our estimation is here that we don't expect the same lift as we've seen between the quarters previous years.
And that also applies to the U.S. business, where you also, with the exception of last year, had always had a good Q4. Or is that more specific to Europe?
It is also for the U.S., I mean, it is for the whole company.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Andreas.
The next question comes to the line of Mr. Johan Eliasson from Chevreux. Please go ahead, sir.
Johan.
Yes, hello. I had a question on these restructuring so you just announced now, was it for Spain and then Mexico, North America. The impact from those, as I understand, will not be seen until like 2011. And I understood the big program you launched back in 2004 should see the full impact already 2010. Are we delayed here, and is the full benefit still around 3 billion Swedish?
Yeah, the cost is, we still estimate it to be about 8 billion and savings of about 3 billion. And Jonas, maybe you want to...
No, it's true that with the timelines to transition production out of these facilities, that won't be completed until 2011. So the full positive effect will not occur until then. But again, as we said after the second quarter, we expect to finish the program in terms of cost in 2010.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Juan.
The next question comes to the line of Mr. Tim Rothery from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon. Just looking at your working capital position, it seems to be what looks to be all-time lows. Could you just comment regarding how sustainable you feel this level as a percentage of sales is? And then perhaps if you could also just comment in terms of what's the inventory position like at your distributors as well as your own. Thank you.
If I start with the inventory... It's all-time low in Europe with the retailers. We estimate it to be about 20-25 days compared to some 40-45 when the economy was still up there. And in North America, it's about normal to a little bit low when it comes to working capital. Jonas, would you?
Yes, obviously, as we've said here in these sessions, we focused tremendously on working capital improvements over the last year here in the recession. And I think the main improvement that we've seen has been in reducing the amount of raw material and finished goods inventory. And I think part of it is driven by the cyclical downturn, but also substantial improvement in our underlying performance. And then secondly, we focused very diligently on credit. And a result of that is that we've been able to reduce past due receivables significantly. And then obviously we've also focused on payment terms on the accounts payable side. And I think we've made good progress in all those accounts, both on, let's say, as a response to recession, but also a structural improvement.
Tim, are you okay with that?
Yeah, and I mean, just looking at these levels, is this something that you feel is a sustainable level for running your business now going forward, or to what extent do you feel that as volumes begin to come back, you need to start giving back some of these improvements that you've made?
I think, you know, I guess we're testing this as we go to some extent, but I do think that our inventory levels, let's put it this way, for our inventory levels to be sustainable at this level, we'll have to continue to implement structural improvements, which we intend to do. So the answer at the end of the day is yes, we think it's sustainable, but there's further work to be done to cement those improvements.
Okay, very clear. Thanks.
Thank you, Tim. Next question, please.
The next question comes to the line of Mr. Anders Trapp from SEB Enskilda. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi there. I wonder, on your Capital Markets Day on Tuesday next week, I guess it is, I wonder what your main focus will be. Will you teach us more about how you are to reach your profitability target, or maybe even hint on how you can exceed it?
Well, you're very welcome to come and see at the day there. But what we will do is, of course, give you a review of where we are and where we intend to go, and put some more meat on the bones there for you.
Is that okay, Anders?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Mr. Stefan Lycke from Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Thank you. You mentioned several times here that raw materials are on the rise. I understand that the gross benefit might come down here, but if you look at the net benefit, including currency, will that change dramatically Q4 versus Q3?
I think, yeah, Jonas,
overall, there, our currency exposure is becoming more favorable. You know, especially, I'm sure you're aware, our big exposures are the Aussie dollar against the U.S. dollar and then Brazilian reais against the U.S. dollar. And both those have developed quite in our favor in the last several months here. So that will become a bigger favorable, yes.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Stefan.
The next question comes from the line of Mr. Mikael Andersson from Evli Bank. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, guys. A question on the European market. Your organic sales was down 9%, while the market was down 11%. Not a major difference there, but is there any market you are outgrowing the market, taking market share, or is this just a result of you not being present in Russia, for instance? Or what I'm really interested in is the German growth. Did you outgrow the market in Germany, and is that the reason why your organic growth in Europe was better, slightly better than the market?
Now, when you look at Europe, Western Europe, old Europe, is not down as much as new Europe, Eastern Europe is. And Eastern Europe is continuing to be down quite significantly, while we see that the Western Europe year over year declines are less now at this time. Germany was not up during the economic during the good times, and has not been down during this recession. And in Germany, we have continued to take market share in line with what we announced after the closure of the Nuremberg factory, that it would take us some time to get back there, and we're step by step taking market share in Germany.
Okay, cool, thanks.
Thank you, Michael. Next question, please.
The next question comes from line of Mr. Johan Trocknér from Nordea. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, good afternoon. Can I just ask you, Hans, about the marketing spend, the investments there in branding and such that you've mentioned? Could you give us any sort of guidance on the impact in millions of spend that we might see change here going forward now that you've held back for a while? What kind of impact could we see?
Well, you saw us being down to about 1% of sales in marketing spend during the third quarter. And the reason why we have cut back is that during this recession, you can't advertise people into our stores. It's not very efficient. So therefore, we've cut back some of that. We will step by step now increase that. And we're talking about here to step by step come back up to about 2%, which means that in the fourth quarter, well, a couple of hundred million. But I can't give you a more exact figure than that we will step by step increase that.
And over time, 2% of sales is a good indication of where you roughly want to be, given your ambitions to move up the branding average across the group, so to speak.
As an average for the time being, but you saw also that when we are making or when we're doing launches, we can go over that as well. And in times like this, we can go under. But for the time being, that should be an average.
Thanks very much.
You won. Next question.
The next question comes from the line of Mr. Rasmus Engberg from Handelsbanken. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, hi. I was wondering if you could be a little bit more specific on the fourth quarter compared to the third quarter. Is it what you're trying to say, that it is a similar quarter from a product perspective, or that it is going to be worse?
Yeah. Well, I think it is pretty obvious that we've had a very good third quarter, and that is on the back of cost savings, mix improvements, price maintenance, trough in material costs, and also a built-in season mainly, and a premium products season that is coming a little bit earlier than the fourth quarter. And to exceed that quarter in the fourth quarter, to exceed the third quarter in the fourth quarter, we see as not very realistic. And that's why we're saying that you should not go back and just extrapolate historical figures, because then I think you will overshoot our expectations at least.
Yeah, okay, thank you. That's just what I wanted to hear clarified, exactly what you meant there. If I may, can I have one question on your net cash position? Do you expect to have a positive cash flow in the fourth quarter?
Well, Jonas is our money man here, so let's ask him.
Yeah, I think typically the fourth quarter is our strongest cash flow quarter, and I guess I have similar comments to what Hans just said here. It's unlikely they will repeat the very strong performance of the second and third quarter, but we're shooting for positive cash flow, yes.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Rasmus. Next question, please.
The next question comes from the line of Mr. Patrick Lindqvist from HQ Bank. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, hello. Just had a question on the pricing side, because if I read right, Hans, you're talking more about sort of an existing price pressure in the market, not that you're giving in on pricing. Would you care to sort of give us a feel for whether it's broad-based among competitors? I understand Italy is a sore point in terms of regions, but in terms of competitors, is it specific guys that are after specific niches, or is more getting more broad-based?
I think there is always a pricing pressure in markets, and can be different from different countries and regions. And Italy is one, as you point out. We've been able to maintain our prices, and the one that sticks out like a sore thumb, I think, is where the Korean won has depreciated with some 30%, and therefore this has been utilized by some Korean competitors to reduce prices on laundry in the U.S. Apart from that, we haven't seen any major changes.
It's not so that Panasonic, which are been very they're very clear about they want to buy some share or find some share in Europe in on white goods. It's not that they are the ones that are starting to come in and making these comments.
I don't recall. What is the market share of Panasonic, and where are they slashing prices? Maybe you can help me there, because I have failed to pick up on Panasonic in Europe.
Yeah, they say they want to come in there, so I'm just wondering whether, from very low base, obviously.
Yeah, no, I can't confirm that, because we have not seen much of that or seen anything of that.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you, Patrick. Next question, please.
The next question comes in line of Mr. Franz Höyer from PI Ideas. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon. Could you please try and quantify the benefit at the EBIT line from selling price increases since Q3 last year, please?
Well, we have here on price been, I think... maybe Jonas, you're closer to it there.
Yeah, I think we've raised prices by a couple of percentage points in Europe and a little over 3% in North America. Overall, it's over half a billion kroner.
Sorry, I didn't catch the number.
Half a billion kroner overall.
Half a billion.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much. I'll get back in line.
Next question, please.
The next question comes from line Mr. Olof Cederholm from UBS. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello. I just have one question about the potential use of cash. With this rate of cash flow, you'll soon be debt-free, and maybe you have plans on how to put the cash to use. Thanks.
Yeah, we're assembling cash at this time, and we will, over time here, make sure that Electrolux has the right capital structure, and it is too early to conclude on that. But as you know from our proud history, we have been doing the right things when it comes to leverage of Electrolux, and I think that also shows. I looked into our TRS, our total return to shareholders, over the last several years from 2003, and I think we have about 17% over that period of time, which I think out-competes most companies on the stock exchange. So we will make good use of it going forward.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you, Olof. Next question.
The next question comes from line of Mr. Johan Eliasson from Chevreux. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, hello again. I just have a follow-up on the restructuring program you announced last year, the one in December and the early one with the European headcount reductions. How much has been seen this year so far?
We announced that in the fourth quarter, and that is separate from our 2004 factory restructuring program. And the figures that we give here is the overall restructuring savings from all the programs we put in place, and that amounts to about 500 million for the first half year. For Q3 it was about 400 million, and we foresee for the fourth quarter about 300 million. The restructuring program where we announced that 3,000 of our team members will leave us is on plan and is developing according to our expectations.
Okay, So these numbers you just mentioned, that's for all these programs, as I understood it.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
The next question comes from the line of Mr. Andreas Willits from JP Morgan. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon. I have a follow-up question on the raw material component costs. You say now that you see them as a cyclical low. Does that mean that you're now trying to hedge some of these costs, particularly steel costs, into for 2010? And also maybe you could provide us with the overall number that your raw material costs were lower Q3 this year versus Q3 last year, maybe raw materials on its own or maybe just also including component costs.
Yeah. Jonas, would you?
Yeah, I can do that. Well, first of all, if we start with steel, we're currently, let's say, playing this at a relatively tactical level where we have not yet gone out and locked in prices for next year. So far, our main suppliers have been unreluctant to agree to longer-term contracts at levels that we're comfortable with. When it comes to the exchange-traded base metals and plastics and so on, we're more exposed to let's say the spot market developments with a time lag. So if you look at where oil bottomed and where copper and aluminum and those metals bottomed, it was in the first quarter of last year. So we're seeing that. The price effect of that coming through in the third quarter results here. So that's typical of the time lag that we see between where spot markets go and where our price realization go. Obviously, we're not completely tied to spot markets, but that drives it. The first quarter of 2009, that is, yes. As you go into next year, then it's obviously very hard to predict. As we've said, we have seen raw material prices come up from the bottom, and if they stay at this level, we'll face a little bit of raw material headwind going into next year. It's obviously difficult to predict where raw material prices go from here. It obviously depends also on the world economy development.
Hans, do you have anything to add on that?
No. Let's see if Johan is satisfied with the answer.
In terms of the raw material savings, I mean, you previously gave the number when it was a headwind. So what was the savings now year on year?
In Q3, we had we saved 600 million excluding currency.
Including that number would be 400 if you...
Yeah. Including currency.
Including currencies, yes.
Thank you.
Yeah, Q1 was minus 100, Q2 was plus 400, and Q3 was plus 600, excluding currency. And plus here means savings.
Thank you, Andreas. Next question, please.
We have a follow-up question from line of Mr. Anders Chapp from SEB and Skilda. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, hi. I've been thinking about what you said about that you saw the traditional seasonal mix improvement that is partially coming through already in the third quarter. And you also say that it's basically all over the place. You feel it all through the company in all markets. If it's like that, there must be some kind of fundamental reason why it's different this year. And I'm sure you have been pondering on that. So I wonder what your conclusion is. Why is it different this year compared to last year or other years?
Well, as we know, we have had a cooking season during many years, a traditional cooking season that starts in the third quarter and then continues into the fourth quarter. This cooking season has been absent for a couple of years since the recession came along. Now maybe we see a little bit of that coming through in the Q3, although we don't see a very strong cooking season. So let's not be too scientific about this. I can only report what we see, and we're not trying to be negative here or anything. We're just saying that we've had a strong impact for some different reasons, cost savings, mix improvements, product launches, for built-in sales and so on. And we see that it was a bit stronger than it has been in the last couple of years and came. We blossomed a little bit earlier here than we have done in the last 2 years.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Anders. Next question, please.
The next question comes in line of Mr. Mikael Andersson from Evli Bank. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi again. The U.S. stimulus package, which there has been talk about regarding appliances, do you have anything on the developments there? There were some application dates of the 15th of October and so on, and maybe some effects in Q4. Have you seen anything from that, or have you made any calculations on what that might help you in Q4 or going into next year, Q1, for instance?
No, we haven't seen anything from that. I think the earliest we can expect that is in January 2010. But at the same time, let's not blow this out of proportion, because in a $25 billion U.S. industry, U.S. dollar industry over there, this stimulus package accounts for about $300 million. It's positive that they focus on energy, and it's of course positive with this program. But I don't think it will change the fundamentals as it has in Brazil.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you, Michael. Next question, please.
The next question comes from the line of Tim Rothery from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello. You mentioned about your capacity utilization in North America, I think, running at around 60%. I was wondering, could you give an indication of what's the equivalent capacity utilization figure presently? Then following on from that, are you at a point now where you're actually producing in line with demand, or are you still underproducing? Because it seems that that's been a feature of your first 9 months. And then thirdly, looking into the next couple of years, from where you stand, what sort of contribution margin do you expect to be able to deliver on the growth that you'll see given current utilization levels, which presumably have a decent amount of spare capacity in them? Thanks.
I didn't get your first question, sorry.
Capacity utilization across Electrolux's plants on a global basis?
Yeah, it's about 60%. This is not scientific, but it's an estimate. And in some places lower, some places higher in different plants. But it is something in that order of magnitude of 60%.
The one exception being Brazil, where we're running full capacity.
Yeah. That impacts, of course, and also in Australia, where we have quite good capacity utilization. But in Europe and North America, it is about there. We are at about, we're in balance when it comes to our manufacturing, to supply and demand at this time. And we're very flexible when it comes to adding capacity or taking out capacity, and we are not overproducing. And to give you one example, we thought that we had an uptick in demand earlier this year in North America, in the U.S., where the retailers started to talk about restocking and that the demand side was better. And in 1 week, we hired back 400 people. Unfortunately, it was not sustainable, so the week after we laid 400 off. So we're quite flexible when it comes to that. When it comes to spare capacity going forward, well, we have no problem in supplying the market all the way up to 100%, and I think we can opportunity to supply is will not be a headache to us, I think.
Okay, thank you, Tim.
Okay, and just in terms of contribution margins going forward, in the event that you have a sustained volume recovery, are you thinking 20% or 30% contribution as sort of a drop through for an incremental dollar?
Yes. No, would you?
Yeah, no, I think, you saw we had a little over 21% gross margin in the
in the third quarter, and obviously the drop through we expect to be better than that as we get volumes back, but not very significantly better.
Provided that the pricing holds, yes, but it's there's a lot of factors that are influencing this, lots of ins and outs, and as I think was very clear about after Q4 last year, that let's not look upon this in a static way, because there are a lot of things that will go in and out of the whole picture that will influence this. But of course, at these break-even levels, I understand what you're driving at, and of course that is, in a static way, that's very true what you're saying.
Thanks. Next question.
The next question comes from the line of Mr. Ben Maslen from Merrill Lynch. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, good afternoon, everyone. Two quick questions on cash flow, please. Firstly, on CapEx, the amount you're going to spend this year is lower than I think you outlined in your original relocation plan. Based on the additional factory closures that you've announced, do you expect CapEx in 2010 to go up from the current level, or do you think that is sustainable? And then secondly, can you just give us some guidance on the outflows you expect in Q4 and 2010 on the existing restructuring charges that you have in place and the ones that you've announced for Q4 as well? Thank you.
If I start with the CapEx one, we do not intend to build any more manufacturing sites at this time. So the decline in CapEx has been that we have not invested in manufacturing entities, and then we have delayed some other CapEx during this period of time, but our CapEx is now to a very large extent going into products. Yeah. And when it comes to outflow for restructuring charges, Jonas, if you...
Well, this year we expect total outflows from the factory program to be about half a billion krona. And then we'll see outflows basically spread over 2010, 2011 for the remaining part of the restructuring program. And again, I mean, with the charges that we announced we will be taking in Q4, we're up to about 7 billion out of the total program that we have announced.
Okay. Just on CapEx, would 2% of sales going forward be a reasonable base assumption for what's a normal level of CapEx?
I didn't hear the number, but did you say
3% CapEx?
3% is what we've indicated to be more or less a steady state level.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Next question, please.
The next question comes to the line of Mr. Tim Schulze-Melander from JP Morgan. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, it's Tim Schulze-Melander from the sales desk here at JP Morgan. Two-part question, if I may. The first one on U.S. sort of existing home sales recovery, just as we continue to see that. Can you just talk about what the sort of mix implications are for your consumer durables business in the U.S.? And then secondly, you talked about ramping your marketing, your brand investments going forward. Can you just maybe just talk a little about the sort of focus, what sort of brand attributes or what kind of brand positioning objectives you're looking to achieve both in Europe and in the U.S. Thank you.
Well, when it comes to the brand positioning, is that we have positioned now the Electrolux brand across the world in the premium segment. And this, if you recall that some years back in the early 2000s, we were not present in North America, neither in Australia, and in a couple of other countries with the Electrolux brand, and we were positioned in different places with the brand. And since then, we have launched in North America, we have strengthened the brand in Latin America, and we have launched in Australia. And we are also harmonizing the brand, which is a multi-year journey in Europe in the premium segment, and that's where we are spending the majority of our brand spend now in the premium segment, and that we will do over the years to come as well, because that is what we need to do, and that's where we need to be. When it comes to, you talked about home sales mix. Well, if you look at the premium market in North America, when that was during the heydays, that segment we estimate to have been about $10 billion. I think the run rate, this is not scientific now, but we estimate the run rate to be at about $6.5 billion. So it has come down considerably. And there we have established the Electrolux brand, and as I have communicated previously, we've taken a good market share within that, between 5 and 10% within that segment. Because of that, the segment has shrunk. We're not meeting our absolute dollar forecasts, but we have a good position that we then will continue to support when this segment comes back. And that will come back slowly but firmly over the next couple of years. That's our estimate.
Okay, thank you, Tim.
Thank you.
Next question, please.
The next question comes from the line of Mr. Franz Hoyer from PIID. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, a second question on selling prices. What's the risk in your view of selling price pressure, renewed pressure, as we move into hopefully some better top-line trends in the market, generally speaking? In the downturn, paradoxically, we've seen selling price increases holding very well. Does that mean when the volumes start to recover that we might see some downward pressure on selling prices?
Well, so far the prices have held, but that is the big question, what's going to happen going forward. I think currencies will play a role in this, which we have seen in the example I referred to earlier with the Korean won and the laundry products. And of course, over the years, in a stable or growing market, there will be some price deflation. I don't think that prices will, I don't see any dynamics where the prices will continue up if in a market with stable raw material prices and with stable or downgoing, growing volumes. What everyone gets sooner or later will then move over to the consumers. But I think there probably will be some more price stability, and not the least given a number of our competitors' balance sheets.
That I think also, Franz, that we have, especially in Europe, as Hans mentioned earlier, that we have record low inventories, and as long as that stays at that level, I think that supports prices as well.
Okay. Could I also just ask briefly, you mentioned the possibility of selective acquisitions. It doesn't sound like you would be buying any additional production capacity, and I was wondering what type of acquisitions, what would you be targeting with those acquisitions if you were to make one?
Well, what we're referring to is that we have the capacity, but we have a strategy that is built on brand, product, and cost, and acquisitions has no value in itself, but if there is something that is supporting our strategy, of course we would be considering that, like we are always looking into what's going on in the marketplace here.
But there isn't a hole of some sort you'd like to fill, if possible. You're not actually looking for an acquisition.
No, we're not pursuing. You should not be worried about that we're going to go on an acquisition spree here. But there, in times like this, as we have seen, there are also... this is providing some opportunities also in selective areas.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Franz. Next question, please.
The next question comes from the line of Mr. Patrik Lindqvist from HQ Bank. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, hi, back again. Very quickly, whether you could just give us some numbers on the impact of the
Quellen not being present in Q4 and so on top line and EBIT, whether you can somehow just say how much that added last year and so that we know more or less what to take into account, please.
Yep.
Yeah, we can. Obviously, as you know, Quelle historically has been a very important customer for us. That's declined in importance over the last few years, but still, it's been an important customer for us. And if this now announced liquidation goes through, we see a potential loss of contribution, let's say, of about 10 million euros per quarter going forward.
On EBIT, okay, and on top line will be.
Well, it's about around 5% of our volume sales in Europe.
Yeah. Right. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question, please.
The next question comes from line of Ms. Lisa Randon from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Just to come back on pricing, you said that you expect more price stability into 2010. Does that mean you expect to be putting through similar price increases into 2010, or you expect prices overall to hold at the levels in 2009? And then just quickly to ask a second question, you say in your press release you believe you've still got some work to do before the 6% target is sustainable across the business cycle. Apart from the plans you've already announced, what else do you have left to do? Thank you.
Well, on the pricing side for 2010, I think it is tougher to increase prices. At the same time, we have a sales force, and the rest of the industry have sales forces where the salespeople have, during their entire career, not raised prices ever. And I think this has been a breakthrough for us and for the industry that people have seen that it's possible to increase prices. And we've had to increase prices because we've had such huge headwinds in terms of material costs. And I don't see any major price increases for 2010. I think we have to be realistic here, and especially if the market starts to grow a little bit. On the other hand, I can assure you that in the different areas, we, of course, have the intention to keep prices up and get the full value for our products. But that's the big question, how this will fare. And then if you, we're not there yet, but the move to low-cost countries, if you look into what has happened in or the history of vacuum cleaners and the floor care products, where we've been in this development with the move to low-cost countries over several years. There, everything that can be moved has been moved, so therefore there is more of a price stability in that segment. And over the years, and I'm not talking about 2010, but over the years, I think we will see this bottoming out as well, and it will be more of efficiencies and currency that will impact. But for 2010 and pricing, that remains to be seen. When it comes to 6% target, well, like I've said many times, let's not get carried away by a good quarter or a not so good quarter. We have transformed this company from a manufacturing-driven company, mainly selling what we produce, to a more brand consumer-focused company. And this journey to re-engineer Electrolux is performed step by step. And we can conclude here that our strategy is working. And we will step by step continue to improve this. We want to make sure that we can deliver on these levels going forward on the 6% level. We have still some factories to relocate. We have other internal efficiencies to improve. Out of the six divisions we have, five of them are now cranking in the right way, and the sixth, which is Europe, is making very good progress in the right direction here, but we still have more to do to reduce complexity and improve our efficiencies in not the least in Europe. So let's take one step at a time. We want to reach 6% sustainably, and let's walk before we run.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa. Now we're ready for the last question here. I think it's Rasmus Engberg at Handelsbanken.
Please. Yes, I'll open Rasmus' line. Rasmus' line is open.
Yes, thank you. Can you hear me now? Yeah. Just wondering, I mean, looking at the financial leverage in the company, if you take into account the pension liabilities, you now have a lower net debt than you had in 2006 previous to the extra dividend. I mean, what is your, you know, what is a sustainable level for net debt plus pension liabilities, you think?
Well, I mean, I guess our approach is to be solidly investment grade on a sustainable basis, and that means BBB+, and you know, we aim to have a capital structure long term that sits us comfortably in that range.
And would you be a little bit more for us layman? What does that mean?
That means a net debt to net debt to EBITDA ratio of around 2, let's say.
Thank
and
you.
I think it is very important also to, which is not directly related to this, but to look at our capital turnover, which is second to none in this industry, and which is around 4. And if you multiply that with a 6% average, that is quite a good return on capital. With that, I'd like to thank you for your questions, and let's finish this call by me summarizing a bit what we have been discussing here. And first, I'd like to mention that we have reiterate that we have probably seen the cyclical trough in raw material prices during the third quarter. We have seen some of the seasonal mix improvements already in the third quarter. And during this recession, we have reduced our market investments, and we will now increase our marketing investments to further strengthen the position of the Electrolux brand. And adding this together, as I have we have discussed a couple of times during this call, we do not expect our traditional results improvement in the fourth quarter over the third quarter. But thanks to our cost reduction programs, our lower material costs, our maintained prices and improved mix, we have succeeded in reaching a very strong operating profit as well as cash flow in the third quarter. And let me end by saying that this clearly demonstrates our potential. Thank you very much, and talk to you next time.